Welcome back to A View from the Couch. My name is Rich Davenport. One of your co-hosts. The other co-host is Jen. And playing the role of Jen today will be my frequent co-host on this show, my frequent guest co-host on this show, and my brother from another mother over on Great Disturbances, Paul Moderman. Paul/Jen, how are you?
My name is Jennifer Davenport. I'm going to do some movie reviews. I'm going to talk about Old.
That's exactly nailed it. That's, that is
I downloaded audio from all your podcasts. I just stream it all day long. Nothing but Jen's voice. Man.
That's like some fucking method acting right there. Just living the role.
Like the people in my life are like, oh my God, where did Paul go? Because all I see, all I hear is a person I don't really know.
Right. Sounds like that person from that podcast that we listen to all the time.
That very, very famous podcast.
Very famous, totally famous podcast. Yeah.
Top 10 list of your mom's podcast.
My mom has two podcasts that she listens to.
And... except here's the, it'd be number like number seven, right?
Yeah, if my mom had a top 10, mine would be like 10. Nine and 10 together. So, Paul is right. We're talking about the movie Old, the M. Night Shyamalan movie Old.
It's this past year, right?
Yeah, I think it came out middle of the year or sometime.
I feel like it kind of passed me by. I didn't realize it happened. I don't know how else to put that. Like, well, I don't pay a lot of attention to like movie industry stuff.
Right.
You know, so I guess it missed me from that angle, but also I didn't know it happened.
It just seems like anything with his name on it tends to just be flushed pretty quickly. You know what I mean? Like
he's Mr. Night Shyamalan has this weird, like, he's got so much weight from a couple of things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That just drags him through a bunch of other things.
I mean,
I don't know how else to put that. Like,
yeah. I mean, you could argue that he might have spent that currency a while ago. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cause I mean, like Sixth Sense was his breakthrough thing, right? It wasn't his first movie, but it was his most famous movie. It's the one that has the twist ending that he latched onto. Oh yeah, everybody loves the twist ending. Everything must have a twist ending now.
Everything twist it all.
Right. And he's used that to some success early on and much less success later. I mean, I think somewhere around Lady in the Water or The Village is where he just started this like gradual decline. Maybe even the end of Signs is what threw me off of him.
Yeah, because I've seen Signs, I've seen The Village, I've seen Unbreakable, and like, because those were all relatively quickly after Sixth Sense,
right?
You know, and you could tell that he was getting a lot of budget from places to spend on these things, but like none of them reached the heights even of Sixth Sense, right? In terms of quality and in terms of anything, I guess you could say. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the box office was never as good as it was for Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
Just hasn't seemed to have been able to recapture that that gleam or that glow of Sixth Sense. But he keeps trying. God damn it, does he keep trying?
I guess you kind of can't fault the guy for trying.
No, not at all.
Because, like, fuck it. If you're going to get your stuff made,
get
your stuff made, I guess, right? Like,
somebody believes in him. Somebody keeps giving him money.
Yeah.
I mean, more power to him. Keep doing your thing. It may not always end up being my thing, but, you know, who cares what I think, you know, if you've got other people that are going to watch it. But this movie is based on a graphic novel, a French language graphic novel.
In the credits.
Yeah. It's called Sandcastle. Now, I've never seen it or read it. I tried to find a copy of it to no avail before we recorded this because I wanted to read it. I've heard that it doesn't quite have the explainy pants problem that this movie has, which I don't know, maybe it, maybe that'll play better, but who knows? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe at some point I'll read it. I haven't been able to get my hands on it. M. Night Shyamalan is the director. He also is the adapter of the novel.
Right.
He wrote it. He wrote the script anyway. And do you know how, like, when we look at like George Lucas and we say, you know, George Lucas, he needs somebody to tell him no with those prequels, right? I feel like somebody needs to tell M. Night Shyamalan no.
Like, are we beating around the bush here? Should we start with our quick review of it, or should we start our quick thoughts about it, or like, I think we're circling an issue here.
Yeah.
Or like one major issue at least.
We are circling. Yes, we are circling.
And maybe I can just start.
Sure.
Well, in a short way, but unless you want to have I keep forgetting the format. I always forget the format of shows.
Well, that's okay. So, that's right. Yeah. We'll just kind of talk through the movie. Basically, we'll just talk through the story based like from beginning to end. So it starts out with a married couple and their kids. They're going on vacation, and it comes to light that the husband and wife, Guy and Prisca. Yeah. They're getting ready to divorce, but they don't want to involve the kids, or they don't want the kids to get upset. And we further learn that Prisca actually has some kind of medical condition. They don't really tell you right off the bat what the medical condition
is. Yeah, they kind of hint at it.
Right.
Also, so it's like they start out, they're just in the van, like going to the resort.
Right.
And you are already getting beaten over the fucking skull.
Yeah.
With like this movie has to do with time and aging.
Right.
Yes. Like every goddamn thing is like it's just fumbling around in the dark at like, you know what? This movie is about getting older.
Yeah.
If you didn't guess from the fucking title.
Right, right.
Of the movie. Because like, so this the daughter, she can kind of sing. She sounds really good for like 6, 7, whatever she's supposed to be, like.
Right.
Maybe 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
And then the mom goes, I can't wait to hear it when you're older. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Right. Cause it was like, and then they beat the time theme to death.
They sure do. Yeah. They sure do. I think that's a recurring problem for M. Night Shyamalan, is that his dialogue is terrible.
Fucking garbage.
It really is bad.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Like I said, keep at it there, M. Night, but
get a writer helper, man. Jesus.
Get somebody to punch this up. Somebody to write the dialogue for you, at least. I mean, he's good with like high end, like high concept stuff.
Yeah.
But like the dialogue is really lacking.
And he directed it too, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he directed it.
Yeah. Wrote and directed, and is in the movie too. He shows up in the movie.
That's right. He's the driver guy, and then
because when they get to the hotel, they go to dinner or something.
When they get to the hotel,
breakfast. That's right.
There's the blonde woman, who's kind of got the very professional get up, like hostess kind of get up going, and she's got a tray, and she's like, you know, based on the preferences you filled out in your forms, we've made these special cocktails for you.
That's right. Yeah.
Even that, I was like, what a weird thing.
Right.
I was greeted by that, if I was like, you made me a cocktail based on, I want a queen size bed. And like,
I prefer ocean view.
I'm good. No, I don't want to drink an ocean view. You know, how about a Mountain Dew? Can I just get a Mountain Dew here?
Yeah. Like, no, it definitely seems off, right? Like
it just seems off right away. Yeah.
And then like the concierge guy does this like mustache twirly shit. And he's not like hiding it at all, right?
No.
So when he approaches them like the next day, like I think it's at breakfast the next day, where he's like, oh, you guys are special. We're gonna send you to the special beach. And like after all the mustache twirling and the weird drink thing, you'd think that these people would be like, nah, I'm good, we'll stay here, we're fine,
you know what, we're just gonna do the waterboarding or whatever.
Yeah,
we're just gonna do some
what kind of resort is this?
God, You start with a cocktail that I didn't even want. You move on to the waterboarding.
Oh my god.
Did you notice too that the Prisca character, later on she explains it a little bit differently, but in the beginning, I think it was when they first get into their room or whatever, she goes, "Can you believe I found this online?"
Right.
And I was like, where else do you find things? Like, it's 2021. If you don't normally find things online, where are you even looking?
Obviously, right? in the evil vacation destination handbook, like what are they, not Forbes, but there's like the Follett, right? Follett's like travel guides, right?
You know, it's the one that follows you wherever you go, no matter you try to like throw it away, it comes back, right?
The cover's made of human skin, you know.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? I don't want this. And you throw it in the garbage and you go back to your room and it's like on the table. You know what I mean? You're like
opened up to a spot. And you're like, what the fuck?
You're like, what the fuck? You know what? I'm gonna look online for this one though. Let's see if this is.
And that was the plan all along. And to get you online.
This movie is about Prisca discovering the internet.
Yeah, no shit. That's fantastic. But okay, so they go to this beach, this private beach. They're driven there by M. Night Shyamalan, and presumably yes.
One real quick thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that because this comes back? So the kid,
right.
And the little friend guy who lives at the place, whose uncle is the maitre d' or whatever,
right?
The host guy,
concierge, or
concierge guy.
I just called him concierge because I couldn't think of anything else to call him. So,
the two little boys play this game of like, let's tell each other truths about each other,
right?
And the one boy says, "I don't even know what,"
yeah.
And then the kid who lives there, his like introductory truth about himself is, "I don't have friends." I was like, holy fuck balls. That's
fucked up. The shit gets deep quick.
Yes, he drops some things on you.
Yeah. He's not like, I like bananas on my peanut butter sandwiches. He's like, I don't have any fucking friends.
I'm not allowed to talk to people. I don't know why. I'm just supposed to trust my uncle. Why do I even live here? I don't even know.
Why
am I here?
Not allowed to go to school. Can't do anything.
This is not a school. Why am I here? I don't even know. Yeah.
Right, but it does. The other thing that comes back is that they do like coded messages to each other.
Yeah,
right?
they do coded
messages to each other. So that does play in later.
And the first one is like ice cream eating contest, and you're like, hell yeah, I'd do that.
Right. This is how they suck me in, is an ice cream eating contest.
But then we'll get to it later. It turns out there's another one, and it's just like that truth.
Right.
It's like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The kid's like all fun and games until he's got to drop a fucking bomb on you, right? He's all like, hey, let's be friends. I don't have friends.
The kid turns out he's way smarter. He knows it's fucked up.
Right.
And he's just trying to find people to tell. Right. Right, he's like, I know. If I tell my little friend here the most fucked up thing right away, maybe he'll tell his family and they'll help me escape here. Because I don't know why I'm here.
Right.
You know.
Oh my god.
Visually, this guy is probably not my father. Right. He's not my father. You know what I mean? Like, what? Where is my family? Why am I here?
Yeah. That's an interesting question, though, right? Because knowing what we know about the island and about who's there.
Yeah,
that kid probably belonged to somebody else.
Yeah,
right.
Like, did that kid? Yeah,
that's even darker.
We should come back to that. That's
dude. We should. So they get to the beach. They're driven there by M. Night Shyamalan. They are given a shit ton of food, which comes back into play later, and they're left there with a bunch of other people, right? There are a bunch of other people show up, right? There's this woman who wants to be a supermodel, her kid and her psycho husband, and a psychologist and her husband, who's a nurse, I think, right? The Ken Long.
Kind of health person, I think.
Yeah. Some sort of a health, like para or something. And then there's a rapper who's going to tell you exactly everything you need to know about M. Night Shyamalan's abilities as a writer is encapsulated in this rapper's name. It's Ready mid-sized sedan.
You know what I just, holy shit, do you know what I just thought?
What?
This movie is a vehicle, okay?
Oh, no.
And it's a vehicle for M. Night Shyamalan's rap career, because mid-sized sedan, M.S.
Oh, my God.
M. Shyamalan.
Nice.
Like, dude, we're busting this wide open here.
Holy shit, dude.
This is like,
holy shit.
This is like mid-sized sedan represents M. Night Shyamalan's, like, is like, he's like the Matrix digital projection of M. Night Shyamalan. Like, he's like, that's what I believe myself to be, is that guy. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. Mid-sized sedan. And, famous, that name is famous because one of the kids recognizes him.
Yeah, she recognizes him. Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, I'm getting his autograph. Ah, it's
and, the dad's like, what? He's on vacation. Don't fucking.
Yeah. Leave him alone. Yeah. Leave him alone. He's parked himself over there. Just let him idle. Other car references. Anyway. So while they're, you know, they're there, they get in the, one of the kids gets in the water. I think it's Trent, right? And a dead body washes up.
Oh, that's right. They're going to play a game or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And a body washes up. Yeah.
Right. Which is, I guess, the body of the girl that was there originally with the rap guy, with mid-sized sedan.
Rap guy. Yeah.
Can we just call him Sedan?
Just Sedan for short, right?
Yeah. Right. We'll just call him Sedan.
Should we just call him like
MS,
you know, Camry or something like Camry? That? You
know? Right on. I like it, Camry. So Camry had a friend that he was there with that he had just met, and they bonded over, I guess they were both sick or something like that, or had something wrong.
Yeah,
with
something.
Them.
Yeah.
And then she like just took off swimming.
She's like,
apparently,
I'm going to go swimming. Yeah.
Yeah, and then never came back until she showed up dead. But they cover her up, and in the meantime, the schizo guy, Charles, I think his name is, the surgeon, yeah, the one that was, he like goes nuts, and he like starts to like suspect mid-sized sedan.
Camry.
Is trying to like, you know, get them or something.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like this veiled racist thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty thinly veiled, but veiled racist thing, right? They pass it off as he's, you know, schizophrenic, but
it's pretty racist.
I think they're trying to make a statement there.
Yeah,
feels like, right?
Yeah, that's what I felt like too. So he like that kind of pops up a little bit. There was a moment that I want to ask you about because I didn't understand it.
Yeah, sure.
So when you
think I'm going to be able to explain it?
Yeah, you're going to get this. I promise you'll get this.
Oh, all right, I'll try.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't understand. I don't know what it's about. So when they get there, before anything weird has happened, they're just like, let's go play. And they're like standing around. The Priska, she's reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Oh, God.
And then Gael Garcia Bernal is just standing around. And she asks him, she's like, hey, what book am I reading? And he doesn't know.
He's like, I don't fucking
and
know.
And I didn't, I was like, what was that moment about? Why did.
What does that have to do with anything?
What does that
have
to do with anything? It had it to my ears, it had no like preceding thing and no follow on thing.
Right.
It was just a moment of how the fuck am I supposed to know what book you're reading?
And right.
then she doesn't tell him.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
So we I mean, it's not like they're on the mending path, right? We already know that they're divorcing, right? So it's not like she's like testing his ability to like pay attention to what she's doing.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what she's doing. But then why would she be if they're just going to divorce anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
But and what the hell kind of a test is that anyway?
Yeah. That like, and plus, you know, you find out later that like they're splitting up because she was unfaithful, right?
Right.
So,
right.
So why is she testing him?
I will tell you why. Shitty writing. That's why.
I felt like there was like the editing just missed that little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It just shouldn't have been there because it had no, it didn't affect anything.
I agree with that. I think the editing was definitely a problem with this film.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've already got like a bad script. You've already got bad acting. Let's talk about that for a second. The acting in this, and I can't figure this out because I know some of these actors, and I know some of these actors can do well, but I feel like have you seen The Happening? Have you ever seen The Happening with Marky Mark?
No, but I think I heard about it.
Okay.
The one where plants are starting to reject humanity or whatever and killing people.
Yep.
Something about that. It's
famously terrible. And the acting is very similar to this. In fact, if you go back and you look at all of his films, all of the acting is very similar. And it's this very David Mamet type of control that he has over like how people emote on screen for him. You know what I mean? Like, at least that's how it feels.
It has that quality of like, there's some combination of like the actors being like, what do I do with this fucking stupid dialogue? But also then the director or editors choosing to edit it badly too. Right. Because I think we talked about this with Attack of the Clones. I think it was Attack of the Clones, where you have scenes where they're filled with people who are great actors.
Yeah.
But the editing cuts in such a weird way around their lines that you feel like the editing is actually giving more space or something between the spoken bits. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
And the way they cut to different shots makes the editing pad or unpad like dialogue space in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And that's something like that is going on here too, because like you said, the acting feels terrible, but clearly they're not, like, if you look at the rest of these people's body of work, at least the people I've seen,
right,
they are not themselves terrible actors.
No. Right? In fact, some of them are actually very good actors. Like Gael Garcia Bernal is pretty famous. I mean, like the Motorcycle Diaries, yeah. Tu Mama Tambien. I mean, the dude has put in
his time and work.
But like in this, he feels so robotic. It feels so fake and so shallow. Like the dialogue the delivery is very shallow, you know?
I had a weird reaction too. So when the kids start to change.
Yeah.
And they do that editing or the perspectives are all for like several minutes. It's like, yeah, people looking at them, but you don't see the kids.
Yeah. Right? It was all reaction stuff. Yeah.
It was all reaction stuff. I was like, okay, I think I know what's happening here. They're older. You can tell by their voices. They're older.
Right.
The title of the movie is old. So I'm presuming something's happened to their fucking, you know, lifespans or whatever. Right.
Makes sense.
What was weird was that the kids at first didn't even seem to understand that they had changed.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Because I'll tell you what, when my body changed over the course of a few years in puberty, I sure as hell noticed it then.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
And if that happened in the space of 15 minutes, you can fucking believe I would have noticed, oh, I've got armpit hair now. Right. Oh, there's weird things happening down in my swim trunks area. Right. Like, I feel very differently about a lot of things.
What is this?
They didn't understand, and it made no sense to me.
Well, and on top of all of that, on top of this, the ability or inability of these kids to grasp that something happened to themselves personally, just looking at each other, they should be able to tell, right?
Yeah,
like, they don't look anything like what they looked like 15 minutes ago,
right?
When they finally get this reveal, right?
The sister should be like, hey, little brother, all of a sudden you're taller than me. That's strange.
I know.
And the brother should be like, hey, sister, you look very different.
I know, right?
Like, what is...
Yeah. I appreciate what he was trying to do with the reactions versus the actual showing of it. It's kind of a Spielbergian thing, right? Where you give us the slack-jawed look, you know, that slack-jawed bug-eyed Steven Spielberg reaction shot. That's the one.
Yeah.
The one that you're doing right now. Like, he's trying to give us that, but like, Oh man, I mean, that's like me. That's like me trying to make macaroni and cheese for Gordon Ramsay. Do you know what I mean? That's what this comes down to. You know,
I think a lot of this stuff, because some of the other stuff we'll talk about, shows you some gaps in the premise, but also like it's just emblematic, I think, of like M. Night Shyamalan, one of these moments of he's like, I want the perspective to be the people who see them rather than the kids themselves and like all this stuff. But like the core premise of people like getting older a lot faster in this contained beach wasn't thought out enough to make people have believable reactions to it. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a different, totally different horse here.
Go with it.
There's this thing too with, I think a lot of movies where think about the one that gets me is like Superman, right? Okay, so if like Superman flew down out of the sky and was like, hi, Rich, or hi, if he said, hi, Paul, and we talked, and then he did Superman things in front of me, my fucking brain would be baked for months. Because something that I thought was not possible happened right in front of me.
Right.
And I would have to rethink everything I knew about everything.
Yeah.
Right. He can blast energy out of his eyes. He can somehow make a blizzard come out of his mouth. He can fly without any propulsion.
Yep.
His body can take a tank shooting at it. It doesn't matter. Like, time out. Physics is not what I thought.
Right. Right.
Like, everything the universe has changed. The universe is an utterly different place.
Right.
Than my understanding. And right. like, That's to me, if that happened on this island, I would have been like, guys, shut the fuck up for a minute. Do you understand that the universe just turned upside down?
Right.
Right. How are you not seeing that everything that's happening right now completely fucks your life perspective on everything?
Right.
Right.
Or it should.
It should.
Yeah.
Well, I would go around going, why are you not freaking out right now? Why do you care? Why do you care about, like, lady, why do you care about, like, your makeup or lipstick or whatever? Like, reality just disappeared up its own asshole here. Like, it's so different. Why? What the fuck?
You guys, I'm totally freaking out over here.
You guys. Stop, just for a moment, who cares about everyone's feelings? The universe just imploded right here. Can we like take a minute,
right.
take a beat, contemplate reality for just a second and let's move on.
Though when you think about it, they don't have the time to contemplate that. Their time is very short now. Because a year for every 30 minutes now or something like that. Yeah, so
I mean, but even just discovering that your kids are now 14 and 16-ish,
right?
That should give you just more pause, I think, than it gave them.
Oh yeah.
In that moment, right?
Oh yeah. And these are people that are supposed to be like very smart when you think about it, right? Like, one of them is like an actuary, and
yeah, they've got like. Yeah, they're
doctor,
all
doctor,
like,
actuary.
Many of them. So the guy's like a medical
psychologist.
Nurse guy.
Yeah,
they're all educated. They're presumably, all of you people have had the education to have a like mental framework of how the world works,
right?
And it just like fell onto the floor in front of you, right?
They don't have reactions like that. They have reactions like it must have been something that one of the kids ate, which. I don't know how you get there.
How do you get there?
How does that even?
What the fuck?
What, you ate that too, right? You ate the food that came from the hotel as well, and
it should bake your fucking brain. Even if you think, oh, it's probably the food, you should be like, whoa, time out. There is such a food that can make children like jump from six to puberty
right
in front of your eyes,
right,
that should also unmoor your ships from the right. dock of reality for just a minute, just a beat.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, just long enough. But this movie's not long enough to spend the time on that, is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't want to face that. And he being M. Night Shyamalan, he doesn't want to have his characters face that down. What he really wants them to do is he just wants the reaction of what's going on, right? Like it's just like the twist ending, right? It's the reason that he goes for the twist ending is it gets a reaction out of people. This gets a reaction out of people, but they're not like, he's not going to guide them on some sort of self-exploration at all. He just wants to elicit a response. And I honestly think that's a failing for him.
I just think that you could explore the themes here without fucking up the world building thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want to get into how you'd fix it necessarily, but
nah, that's okay.
There's got to be a better way to do this. Anyway,
yeah, easily.
Anyway, so the kids have become teenagers now in front of everyone's eyes.
Right. Oh, and then the surgeon guy's mom dies. Right. The mom and the dog.
Oh yeah, the mom and the dog die.
Yeah. So like the mom and the dog die, and they start figuring out that they're aging. I don't remember who it comes up with this, but they age 30 minutes every hour, like I was saying.
Roughly 1 year every 30 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry, 1 year every 30 minutes every hour. I'm making sense. I make as much sense as the script
as this the movie. Premise of this fucking movie. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, and then they also figure out that somebody in each family unit has like some sort of medical condition. Some sort of
bad thing, yeah.
Right, like... Big Mac truck guy has like hemophilia, and Priska has like a tumor.
Yeah.
And the other dude's schizophrenic, and which actually that's two, right? Because he and his wife both have underlying medical conditions.
Yeah, she has like osteoporosis or something like that, right?
Yeah. Some sort of like hypocalcemia or something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. She needs extra calcium. Yeah.
Yeah.
When she they lay that out right away when she, at the breakfast thing, like she needs to make sure she has calcium in her drink or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're to the point where they figure out that everybody has an underlying medical condition, and then Priska's tumor is like growing, visually they can see it.
Yeah.
So then they do this whole like cutting her open to like extract the tumor. But the wound keeps closing.
The wound closes another, like, right away.
Yeah. This is another one of those like shots because they're like stick their fingers in there to keep.
Yeah. To like hold the thing open.
Yeah. While they're doing it. But like you don't see any of that. You only see the reaction to it. And they talk to you about what is happening to her abdomen.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's closing around my fingers or, you know, like a couple of times. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, wait, why not show us that? What is this, story time, or are you going to actually show us something? Correct me if I'm wrong, but film is showing, not telling, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a limitation of the special effects budget or something, but okay. Allow me an aside. There was
back, you are allowed.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is your one shot though.
One don't time. Fucking, I only get one, time.
One aside.
All right, one aside. All right. Don't fuck so, it up, dude. I will try not to. I can't guarantee it though. So when I was a kid, I discovered an audio drama adaptation of Stephen King's The Mist. And it was done in 3D audio, right? I can't remember the name of the thing, binaural something. Basically, it was like a radio play. And in that radio play, they had to have the actors describe different things, right? And so like when these beasties break into the store that everybody's holed up in The Mist, one of the actors is like describing it. He's like, oh my god, it's got six legs approximately 4 inches apart, and right. the thorax, blah blah blah. And I always thought that was eye-rollingly bad, but that is exactly what they're doing here.
Yeah.
instead of showing it to us, they're like, it's closing around my fingers. My index finger is being absorbed first. And now my, I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, just fucking show it to us. Like, maybe they couldn't get the effect right. I don't know what it was, but
I don't know, because they spent money on other people having healing things. So like,
even her later, right? After the surgery, they like, you get to see the thing coming out.
It goes, they take it out and it closes up right afterwards.
Yeah, it closes right up. It was just frustrating. It's like frustratingly bad writing.
Yep.
So, okay. So then Trent, the son, gets it on with the daughter of the surgeon.
Yeah.
And she has a baby.
And I was not expecting that.
I was not prepared for this.
I was gonna see what I did think I was like, okay, there's two people who are newly teenagers,
right,
who think they might die. They're gonna fuck,
right?
Like, I was like, that's gonna happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because especially because they're like, they don't have time to become more mature mentally. They're just like, their hormones are just like raging now at them, like at full fucking blast.
A 7-year-old with raging teenager hormones.
Raging. Jesus. And the girl was even younger, right? She was like 4 or 5 or something like that. And I was like, oh, they're gonna bone down for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
But what I did not expect was her, like, the shot of them walking toward them, and she had a like full on pregnancy belly. I was like, wait, what? Oh no, that's fucked up.
That happened so quick.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes sense.
It does.
But then.
Oh, man. And the baby dies too, right?
The baby dies.
Like, and I caught this, like, it was just like a quick aside that they said. They were like, oh, we put it down for a second and it died from like nobody paying attention.
Lack of attention kind of thing. Yeah.
Like what? If you look. Okay, if you're aging one day every 30 minutes and you set the baby down for 30 seconds, that's still not enough time for the baby to just drop dead. That's just not.
And I don't know how that, like, I mean, that seemed very weird to me.
Right.
Very strange.
Seems like he just had to have a way to get rid of the baby.
Yeah. And also that, like, I'm not sure if this is what they're trying to say or not, but like, people's brains aren't experiencing extra time, right?
Right.
So it's not like the child was like experienced a year of subjective time of not getting any attention.
Right.
Right.
It was just its body.
It just its body on the ground for a minute or whatever.
Right. Right.
And just fucking is dead.
Yeah.
So also, how would you even know that was the cause of death? Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? Like you could, because it could be like, yeah, to me that was weird that they needed a cause of death, because what might have been interesting way of doing it would have been like, oh, we didn't think to get the baby like feeding right away, because babies need to do that. They lose like, they lose weight as soon as they're born, you know what I mean? Really? And you have to like, you mean, you remember this with your son, of course, and my daughter, like, it was the biggest struggle in the world to like get the feeding right. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
And so if physiologically, except for your brain, you're going through so much time and you have so many like nutrition requirements, which is what they say, that's why the kids were hungry too.
Right. Yeah.
Then surely a baby would experience something like that. Right. Of like,
one would think, yeah,
a baby who, yeah, and like the mother would need to like learn how to breastfeed in a matter of seconds, right?
Yeah,
because otherwise that's physiologically too much time would go by and they would just be essentially starving to death. Well, right.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, like, wouldn't like the mom like be like producing too much milk?
Oh yeah. Oh fuck.
That just came to me. Like, she, ugh, like, shouldn't her boobs have like erupted?
God.
No, instead she tried to climb her way out of there and died.
Yeah. And that's a little bit later, but we'll get to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, okay. So they, speaking of trying to escape, they try a whole bunch of different ways, right? Like, they try to walk back through the tavern, but like somehow they have like brain problems and then and they just, wake up back on the sand?
On the beach. Yeah.
But nobody that saw them get out there.
Yeah. That was weird.
Doesn't make any sense.
It didn't make any sense to me.
And then one of them tries to swim out and around like this little peninsula or whatever.
The nurse guy, right?
Yeah, the nurse guy. Yeah, yeah. Yep. The nurse guy whose wife has seizures, right? She's got seizures.
Yeah, she's got epilepsy. Yeah.
Yeah. And he tries to swim out, but then we later find out that he died.
He died.
And like, I don't know. Yeah. And then of course Kara tries to climb the rocks and she falls asleep. Like the premise is like as you're passing through, like you start to lose consciousness. Start to
lose like I don't know.
But like, that didn't happen on the way out, only on the way in, only on the way out.
Yeah. Also, so I wrote something down about this too.
Yeah.
Because at first I was like, oh Kara, don't do that.
Right.
But then I was like, you know, for her, that actually might be a rational decision to try that.
Sure.
Because she's been alive for like what, 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And she just like, I mean, even hell, rational or not, it's also like she's probably experiencing like postpartum depression and grief and stuff all at the same time of like losing her child and and like the shock of like even discovering she was pregnant and all this stuff. But put that away. For her, she's like, I'm so young. And this is the last day of my life.
Yikes.
Like, maybe I should just fucking try, right?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it's almost rational for her to give it a shot. Because why the fuck not?
Hmm.
There's an argument to be made, I think, at least. I don't know whether I'm not sure whether I would do it because I'm very scared of heights. And I know that I wouldn't be able to climb it because I would freeze up, right?
Sure, yeah.
So it wouldn't be a viable option for me. But if somebody didn't have that and they wanted to try it, who could even blame them for trying?
Right. Yeah. No, that's a really good point, actually. And I like the way that you framed that too, because it does make a lot of sense for someone who's essentially still a child, right? I mean, she's still, like you said, mentally, they're not aging. They're just aging physically.
Yeah.
She's still a 5-year-old that, you know.
And they do seem to mention that even if they haven't learned anything new, they do mention that their minds seem to be gaining more of the just physical development that minds have, right?
Right.
So in other words, like they don't know algebra any more than they did before, right?
Right. Right.
But they do say like my brain has more colors now, my thoughts have more colors, you know, right? They have more mental capabilities, even if they haven't filled them out yet with education, right?
Right, right.
So some part of her may have also gained the power to think about, I'm only 5. I've got at best a day and a half left or whatever.
Yeah. God, recognition of your own mortality.
Right.
Shit.
Going from like, mommy, where's my sandwich to like, I have to weigh my life in a balance here.
Shit.
Right.
Fuck, that's dark.
See, but the problem with all of what we're talking about here is that, that decision and discussion or that thought process occurs in this movie.
Yeah.
Right. The problem is that this movie is such a pile of shit.
Yeah.
That you can't like, it's hard to extract thoughtfulness in a movie that does not seem to encourage it.
No, right? The movie definitely does not encourage thoughtfulness, but the nice thing about it is that it does present interesting ideas.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It just doesn't do anything with them.
It just like it's
yeah.
It bears a lot of similarity to the prequels in the sense that at the core, at some pieces, there are interesting things going by, but those things kind of get beat up by the pile of garbage on top of them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So after Kara dies, people start dropping like flies, right? Like, the schizophrenic guy kills Toyota Camry.
Yeah. And by the way, I wrote something down about that too, actually.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Given what we saw with the surgery, shouldn't it be really hard to kill somebody by stabbing them?
Shit. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Why would that even work?
How could that even work, right?
It wouldn't work.
I don't think, especially with that knife doesn't even seem long enough to like like rip your heart open or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That Camry, doesn't make any Camry's, sense. Camry's pretty built. He's got some muscle between his skin and his heart and all that kind of stuff, right? And it's a it's a puny little knife.
Well, it's just a scalpel. And, not even a scalpel. It's like a little
pocket knife kind of thing.
Pocket knife, yeah.
Yeah. So like considering how fast people getting cut and heal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got slashed earlier in the face.
Yeah, and it healed up.
It healed like instantly. Like, kind of surprised you can die by being stabbed in this in this world, right?
Right. You'd think that it makes me think of like, I don't know how I'm going to make this connection, but it makes me think about Wolverine. Like Wolverine can't be like stabbed to death. He can't be sliced up. The only thing you can do with Wolverine really is to cut off his oxygen supply.
Drown him. And even
drowning
that
I think, or in takes, space
takes a longer time because he can still heal from it.
Right.
Because,
right.
So that'd be like torture for him is like, it would take him like an hour and a half to die or something. Probably.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. Oof,
that would be awful.
Yikes. So, okay. So setting aside the absolutely ludicrous way in which he dies, he does die. And then the psychologist, she has an epileptic seizure that kills her.
Yeah.
And who else is there left? Oh, the girl with the hypoglycemia or hypercalcemia.
Yeah.
She like, that I didn't understand quite what happened with her.
Like that was like,
it's a deficiency of calcium, right?
Why like would I'm not,
well, I thought it was right. Isn't hyper an over amount something... and hypo is less.
I don't know what her condition was supposed to be, but like when she's in the cave with those two kids and she drops a big rock on her own arm or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
She says or they say or whatever, oh, it healed really weird. But then like as she goes, she like becomes a bone creature. I don't know how else to put it. Like It was very strange.
Yeah,
like, I didn't feel like I understood.
Spasming into like a monster almost, right?
And her,
like,
all of her arms and limbs get all twisted.
Yeah,
like twisted into like spirals and like super fucked up.
It didn't make any sense to me.
It didn't. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I guess I had thought that for all of her arms and legs to like get totally fucked up and weird, she would have to break them.
Yeah.
Right.
You'd think.
And maybe that part of that being in the cave was meant to be like some things were falling on her or she was breaking this somehow, but like it just didn't add up to me. It didn't quite add up to me.
No, and it was pretty dark in there, so you couldn't really see what was going on. They just lit it with a match, basically, right? It's
definitely like kind of fucking freaky.
Yeah. Definitely.
It didn't quite compute to me, I guess.
Again, it elicited a response. But it didn't have anything to it didn't gel or mesh with anything else.
It didn't leave me going, oh my God, that's what would happen.
Right.
Right.
That too.
It left me going, is that what would happen if that happened? You know?
Yeah.
Which I think is part of the reason like where they're like maybe M. Night has interesting things to say about like the choices you make with the time you have and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like the premise is it doesn't do that fine line walking of if you have a thing that's at the center of your book or movie or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you can either not explain it or you can explain it enough so you get it.
Right.
If you go between those two places, it causes the watcher to be like, I don't understand though. Why is that like, right? Because if this was to just take this, mm-hmm. if this movie was about a wizard, so all the same things happens, but it's a wizard on top of the hill who's doing magic spells to make people have these fucked up things happen to them. And you could be like, well, it's magic. So it's fucked up somehow. Right. And you get it. Like that would be an explanation because magic has that sort of unexplainability to it, right?
Right.
But they went and tried to explain the things, which left you in the moment going, but I'm not sure it would work that way given the explanation.
Right.
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 So it's just the premise needed work.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, the premise and the
cool,
script
didn't work. Yeah. The premise and the script, the premise could have been cool.
Yeah.
But the execution of that didn't work.
Yeah. And I think that's like where it really comes in. The problem really comes in is like the explaining it, like you said, either you don't explain it and you leave it a mystery, or you give it like an actual explanation that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do either, you know, it just, it tries to have the mystery, but then it also wants the twist ending too. And well, let's get into that then, because basically like everybody ends up dead except for the two kids, the two main kids, right? Maddox and Trent. Kylo Ren. Maddox and Trent. And this is where the decoder ring thing comes back, right? He decodes like a note that he had in his pocket from the day before that says, "My dad doesn't like the coral," or something like that, which is again weird and cryptic and bizarre, and why would you tell just some random person that you didn't know he was going to get picked?
So
he figured it, and an even more logical leap is that Trent goes, this now 7-year-old Trent, mentally 7-year-old Trent goes from "my dad doesn't like the coral" to "hey, the coral will stop the effect if we go to the coral," which is there's some coral sitting out in the water, right?
Yeah.
That's the logical leap that he makes. And it doesn't make any fucking sense that a 7-year-old would come up with that.
No.
It's not like the kid decoded it and it said, "hide in the coral if my dad puts you on his evil beach," right?
Yeah, like, no.
It doesn't say that, it just says, "my dad doesn't like the coral." Yeah, my dad likes vanilla milkshakes, so that's cool. Great, kid. They
should do milkshake.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Maddox, are you up for a milkshake? Let's do it.
So, and then it further falling apart, right? They go to the coral and then it cuts to M. Night Shyamalan, who's been watching them the whole time. And there's like this big reveal that the whole thing is like some medical experiment where they're trying to like, they're trying to gather information that will take them, yeah, would normally take them years to gather. They're gathering it in days. And and they're trying to like create like
they're shortening the shortening the research cycle for medications or whatever,
medication. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that's the cocktail they give you at the beginning, right?
Right.
The cocktail is the medication
that
they're gonna test on you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then on top, then they have twist number two, which is that Maddox and Trent aren't dead. They made it out because of the coral, and they show up and start telling everybody what's going on.
Yeah.
But they're middle-aged now. So they're not like, you know, they're not like themselves. They're like middle-aged. So now what we have is we've got a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. I'm guessing. I can't remember their actual ages, but I'm going to just call them 7 and 11, right? Because of 7-11. But they're in adult bodies. So now we have Tom Hanks is big.
Right.
Which I mean, does that mean they're going to go and sleep with adults because they physically have the bodies of adults?
Like that's a super fucked up question to ask about them then.
It really is, because that's what happens in Big, right?
Fucked up, and by fucked up I mean how do you decide that, right? Like do you have to say, "well, sorry, Trent, you need to just wait 11 years until you're mentally 18, right?
Right.
In which case your body will be like 62 or whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah. Even though you desperately want to bone down, like you desperately want
to. Yeah. Mentally, 11 years from now, you're going to be ready for it, but you're going to need like at least two of those blue pills.
Yeah. And poor Maddox, like, probably is already starting menopause.
Oh, God. Right? Yeah. That's a good point. Fuck. Yeah. Shit. Their best years are behind them.
Like, actually, okay. So this is gross, too. Oh, did she like did the girls ever menstruate?
I don't know.
Because if their cells were essentially going through like a year every half hour, and you get to the age where you can menstruate.
Yeah. You're going to have a carry moment, right?
Are you going to have like a really bad experience there?
Yeah.
I hate to even say it this way. Like, Mostly because I imagine that, like, this is where the premise again needs some work,
right?
Because I can't think of a similar thing for men, but women, or I guess people with uteruses,
enlarged prostates,
people with uteruses, people who menstruate. Mm-hmm. It seems like, based on the premise, they would just like maybe bleed out right away. Like, I mean, like, what are you gonna?
Shit, yeah.
You know?
Oh man.
I don't know.
Okay, all right. Let's leave aside the sex stuff, right? Or the sex ed stuff, even. Logistically speaking, how does a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old who look like they're 50 or 50 something, how do they integrate into society?
Kidding.
How do they function in society? What is he going to do? Is he going to go out and get a job? And even at that, he's 50 years old. He's got 15 years to save up for retirement. He's going to be working at Walmart until he's 95 years old and keels over in the storage room.
Like, are they going to have to just go back to school?
Yeah. Like, do they have to go back to school?
Is he going to go back to second grade?
He's going to be Billy Madison, right? Like, really old Billy Madison. 69. Right. Like, shit. Like, so much that was not thought out about
these poor kids are going to have a hell of a life,
right?
In front of them.
Fuck, right. Me. Not much left, right? There's not a whole lot. Like,
a lot got taken from
middle
them.
Age.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Fucking now, hell. Okay. So these guys are so I understand that they wanted to study these things, right? Why not get people's permission to do that? And why take the family members that weren't sick? Because, like you said, they get fucked by that, right? Like these kids are screwed now.
See, like, yeah, I don't know.
Where are, like, the ethics in these guys? Like,
this is such plan. a weird thing. You know, because like I feel like part of this, because part of this I think is supposed to induce the discussion of like so this person, they found the cure or they found the medication preventiveness or whatever for this person's type of epilepsy,
right
so they're like, hundreds of thousands of lives will have great improvement and even be saved because of this. Sure. And so they take a moment of silence, right? And you, as the viewer, I think are meant to wonder, what's the balance there, right? But like the larger thing, or one of the larger things here, I think, is that like somebody somehow discovered this place, right? Mm-hmm. And they decided that they were the best people to make use of its properties.
Right.
Rather than telling the world at large, hey, we found this place that has all this incredible properties to it. Maybe the best science minds in the world could all come together and figure out this is the best way to make use of this. Right. And the whole world can come to an agreement on, like, we as humanity have this like insane fucking thing right here. We could learn so much about the universe. We could learn about medicine, whatever. Like, let's do it together, not as like vigilante. This is like from the J. Jonah Jameson perspective of like, vigilantes are terrible, right? Like, right. The scientists are the vigilantes,
right?
They are decided that they can take the law into their own hands, mm-hmm. or the property or the whatever science, I guess, into their own hands, rather than like in the true nature of discovery, like, expose it and like get more and even more like people and thought on it, right?
Yeah
because like I said, I think M. Night Shyamalan is trying to make you the royal you go into the like, gosh, what was the right thing? Did they actually do the right thing by like sacrificing these people to find these discoveries, right?
No,
that's but like, not, and I don't, like, I don't think, I don't think, I don't think it wound up being the right thing, right?
Right.
It wasn't quite constructed well enough for you to be like, oh, I do have a moral quandary here.
There isn't even really a question there, though.
It didn't
right?
really have a quandary to it, right?
Yeah. That's not even a quandary. Like we know the answer. There's not like, it's like,
it's weird. It's like,
it's really weird.
That thing by itself has that question by itself of like, because that question, can we use evil for, are we allowed to use evil for good things?
Yeah.
Right. It's not as though that's an empty premise because, for example, the US got to the moon on the back of Nazi rocket scientists. Yep. Like the guy who was shooting the V1s and the V2s is the guy who got us to the moon, right? That's yep. the guy, right? Yep. And half of the things we put on or in our bodies are at the feet of millions of rats and mice.
Yep.
And other things, right? Right. Like we as humans are not like blameless in this, like, can you throw a life away if it means bettering other lives?
Right.
It's just that this movie doesn't do a good job of like getting you to that. You know what I mean?
God, no. Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. Okay. So I think we should just go ahead and wrap up here because
I did have one thing. Actually, I have
what do you got?
Maybe two things, but one thing for sure is I thought it would have been awesome. So they swim through the coral, right?
Yeah.
And they have that scene where they're like breathing through the hole, you know, and then later they swim out and like there's fish around them.
Right.
And that's what tells them, oh, I'm in the right place now. Right.
Right.
I thought it would have been totally awesome if a shark got them right then. Because now there's food for sharks.
Right.
The shark gets them and that's when they die.
Right. That's fantastic, dude. I was going to say the playing off of that, the fact that there's no fish in the alcove of the beach, wouldn't there be like dead fish carcasses all over that beach then?
See, I that's what I was going next was that like, this is where the premise also has like some flaws, because I'm not sure that since everything living apparently is going through this accelerated cycle of life cycles, would it really just mean that like, rather than no fish, you just have fish with like half hour lives, right?
Yeah.
And that they're like, and they're the food that the fish eat has like, you know, a half hour lifespan or whatever, right? So in some sense, you would almost think that in this place, specifically in this cove, the creatures here would have at least some chance of being drastically different from creatures on any place else on Earth, right?
That's
because either they have adaptations that make them live inside this fucked up time differently, or they simply have such a, like, evolution happens when you have offspring and those offspring are slightly different from you, and some of them is better and some of it is worse, and then continue and continue and continue and continue, right? And natural selection picks some of them as the best, some of them as not so good, the best go on and mate again, and like that's the story, right?
Right.
This place should have just an accelerated cycle of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
This place, instead of no fish, should it maybe have super fish, right? Or or fish that like in under normal circumstances, like if you take the fish out of this place and you put them in the real world, do they live for like 1,000 years or whatever, right? Because they're adapted to this like weird time environment here.
Right. Right.
I get it that it helped you as the viewer see things. Right.
Yeah.
But also still it was a premise weakness.
Logistically, it doesn't make any sense. Just like the dead body doesn't make much sense, right? Like the dead body decomposes like really, really quickly. Like in a matter of minutes, this body is decomposed.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense because the bacteria would have the same lifespan, the same
yeah.
accelerated lifespan. So they wouldn't be able to help break down the body.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh shit. There's so many flaws in this.
Yeah.
So many flaws. Final thoughts? Anything else that you want to toss out there?
It was just kind of shitty.
Well, that I guess that'll lead me to my final question, which is always keep, rent, or erase. Would you recommend that people keep this, rent it, or erase it from their memory?
I would take this movie to the very beach that it supposes to decompose quickly and wink out of existence.
A fitting end to a rather shitty movie. I would have to go with that as well. Yeah, I'm gonna go with that as well. This deserves better than just Erase. This is
so we're gonna airdrop this movie like the master reels onto the beach.
Yep.
And then some kind of super shark or super fish will eat it and just shit it out. Yeah.
And shit it out. And then and it'll just wink out of existence, like you said. I love it. Fantastic. All right. So next week, Jen and I are going to be talking about, this will be Jen as played by Jennifer this time. We're going to be talking about
I'm stepping back from that.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm kind of reevaluating my career here. So Jen is going to jump back in as Jen.
Right. And we're going to talk about the movie Antlers, the, I guess, horror movie, I think. It's a horror movie, I believe.
I don't know anything about it. I'm not
sure what it is. It's a Guillermo del Toro joint. So I don't know what that means. It could mean just about anything with Guillermo del Toro, I guess. So, but we'll be talking about that one next week right here on the couch. Thanks for joining us this week. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to A View from the Couch. We value your feedback. Please consider leaving us a review on Podbean, iTunes, or your preferred podcast listening app.
You can reach us on Facebook by searching at A View from the Couch, on Twitter at View_Couch, or by emailing us at aviewfromthecouch@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
See ya.